Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's a cold day here in New York City. Yeah, well, we finally got the cold. That's okay. I'm indoors, thank goodness. And we got a great show today. What's so special about an award-winning documentary entitled In Jackson Heights? Well, I'll quote here. In Jackson Heights is a wonderful depiction of many communities within the community of Jackson Heights, said New York City Council Member Daniel Drum. With the film already being 3 hours long, obviously not every community could get equal time on screen. The Jackson Heights depicted in the film is a large part of the Jackson Heights that I know and love, and is the Jackson Heights that people travel from around the world to visit. Jackson Heights is hot. It was extremely honored for me to be asked by, in Jackson Heights, filmmaker Fred Wiseman to accept the New York Film Critics Circle Award for this documentary. Well, it is not Daniel Drum that will be talking with us, but the filmmaker himself will be calling in from Paris, I believe. Then, later on, Astoria Stories celebrates the places we know and love and explores how they transform, affect, and engage residents and visitors. This is another Queens neighborhood. In a neighborhood rife with history, 9 short plays and musicals bridge the past with the ever-exchanging present, featuring the work of Queens-based writers and performed by an ensemble of actors. This production will pay homage to the area of New York City that APAC calls home. That's Astoria Performing Arts Center. So we're going to have director Dev Bondarin, which is the artistic director, who will tell us about approximately 10-minute stories, along with 3 of the writers, Alexander Sage Oyen, Carrie Bentley Quinn, and Christopher Torres. And while we're waiting for, I might as well do a commercial. It happened, by the way. I'll tell you right after the commercial.
Hey, Martha, why do you smile? I was just thinking, I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronnie Brook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from nonfat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal, or milk may get past your eyes. But certainly not homogenized. Bonnybrook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
Well, in the movie, part of Jackson Heights, on certain days, they have a green market set up. So people, you know, they're local vendors coming in, like from upstate New York and, you know, like, for instance, like that. Well, Ronniebrook Farms is part of them. So I have a feeling if you, like, maybe look close enough, you might see Ronniebrook Farms at their stand. I'm not sure, but okay. So, well, I'm still waiting. Let's see. So, well, of course, what goes best with milk is brownies. Yeah. As opposed to what goes best with brownies is milk. But, well, anyhow, here's my brownies, my favorite.
What
brownies
would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Ah, yes, and you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Oh, goodness gracious, that's what I would like right now, but, okay, just so I let you know. So I did watch the movie. The movie's been, in Jackson Heights, has been out already. I'm not sure where it was shown. We'll get into that. And it was 3 hours long, but great. So now I happen to have a here.
It's Fred Weissman.
Frederick Weissman. Are you there?
I'm there.
How are you? And should I call you Fred, Freddy, or Frederick?
Fred's fine.
Okay, Fred. by the way, how is it out there? Are you freezing there? No,
it's a lovely day in Paris.
Oh, okay. Just wondering, because we're freezing here. Well, Danny Drum had written this great thing about Jackson Heights, which I already read on the air. but what I first wanted, by the way, I got to see the movie because I got a screener, so I was able to watch it. But the first thing I have to ask, of all the places in the entire world, how and why did you pick Jackson Heights?
Because I have a friend who lives there, and I was looking around for a new movie to do, and I was interested in the new immigrants to America, because as a child I'd learned a lot about the generation of immigrants that came in around the beginning of the 20th century, which my father was one, and so I was always in America, obviously a country of immigrants, so I was interested to have a look in film terms at the new generation of immigrants.
And so did you first come into Jackson Heights to check it out, or just took the word of your friend?
Well, I spent a day there in 2007, I was going to do it originally in 2007. Then something came up to do a, I got a chance to do a movie with the Paris Opera Ballet, and I was afraid that permission would evaporate. So I went to Paris, and I stayed around Paris for a long time. And then in, I came back to America in the spring of 2014 and had another look around Jackson Heights and decided I should do the movie.
Did it change in the 7 years?
Well, I didn't know enough about it when I was there earlier to answer that question.
Okay. So at that point, did you get in touch with Daniel Drum?
I got in touch with Daniel Drum. I got in touch with the man who's the head of the Jewish Community Center. And I got in touch with a man who is one of the leaders of the East Asian community.
Oh, okay. And now I have to, what the type of movie that you do, is this normally the type of movie that you do?
It's a style I always use, right?
Yeah, because one of the things that I, like, I sat back and went, oh, there's nobody being interviewed. There's no narrator. It's like you're sitting in on whatever's going
on.
Well,
the editing is the equivalent of the narration.
Right. Okay. And are you familiar with Spanish? Did you have to learn it, or?
Well, no, but I speak French, and so I. You know, there was enough similarity, so I always got the drift. And then I had the Spanish sequences that I thought I might use translated, and I worked from a transcript for the Spanish sequences.
Oh, okay. So now how did, like, were things set up? I mean, like these...
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing was set up.
So how many days, how long were you there?
They're all unstaged events, 10 weeks.
Okay, so during the course of 10 weeks, you got that there was this particular group getting together and things like that?
Well, during the course of 10 weeks, I shot about 150 hours of film.
Wow.
And then it took me a year to edit it.
Wow. Do you do your own editing?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's. And you said, well, okay, now to 3 hours, let's do it.
Well, that's the way the film came out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the film is always is whatever the length it comes out in as a consequence of the editing.
Did you enjoy your stay there?
Oh, yeah, I had a wonderful time, yeah. I mean, I met a lot of interesting people, you know, sampled a lot of good South American and Asian food, and worked hard.
Oh, you ate your way through, huh?
Right.
Okay. I'm trying to set it up with Danny. I don't live far away from there. My bet's like as a half an hour away. And so I want to set up with Danny to go there and go from place to place to eat, because I'm more curious about, let's say if you're having Peruvian food, is it different from Colombian food, or, you know, that kind of a thing? You know?
Yeah, well, you'll find out.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to see. Yeah. So, now, is there... with the other documentaries that you've done, by the way, are there any similar to this type of thing?
No, no. They're on all different subjects. I've done a lot in New York over the years. I did one at a Metropolitan Hospital, and I did one about a high school, Central Park East, which is a high school in Spanish Harlem. And I did one about a welfare center on 14th Street, and I did one about a model agency. And I did one about the Belmont Racetrack. I think I've done seven or eight films or nine films in New York already.
Wow. You know that, by the way, Queens is all like this. You can get every possible cuisine in Queens right now.
I know. Queens is.
It's amazing, you know. But now, what I'm kind of curious about, because, you know, I'm looking at it a different angle because I live here, but this has already been out in the theaters?
Well, it opened in the Film Forum in Manhattan, and it's going to be at the Museum of Moving Image
that's on,
in
tomorrow,
Queens
Manhattan.
Soon. Yeah. And I don't know whether it's booked in any other theaters in Queens or not. I don't know if there are many movie theaters that still exist in Queens. If there are,
oh, yeah.
I hope it gets booked.
Oh yeah, because there's especially there's a couple of I know they have one indie place in Queens, and actually they had mentioned Kew Gardens in the film. That's there's one theater there. But I guess what I was curious about is people who don't live in New York City or don't know anything about Jackson Heights, what their reaction has been.
Well, it's played in a lot of film festivals around the world, and it's been well received.
That's what I was about.
Yeah, played in Venice and London and Toronto and other, those are the major festivals it's played in. And then it's going to open in a theater in Paris, or several theaters in Paris in March.
Oh, that's great. Because, I'm always curious about, you know,
well,
places.
I think neighborhoods like Jackson Heights exist in every major city in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, with it, maybe a different ethnic population. But, you know, look what's happening in Europe now with all the refugees from the Middle East and Africa. And there was a big, lots of Turkish immigrants came to Western Europe in the 50s and 60s. And lots of Asian and East Asian came to London after the Second World War and continued to come. So the issues, Jackson Heights may be one of the most densely concentrated areas of new immigrants, but the issue of new immigrants the issues raised by the arrival of new immigrants is a common one in every city in America and every major city in the West.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I guess it's just kind of here. It's I kind of look at it as like people came from all over the world and they had enough money to get to JFK Airport and said, where do we go now? Oh, well, we're here in Queens.
A lot of them didn't go to JFK Airport. A lot of them walked across the desert in Texas or got smuggled in. They came by plane, boat, rail, foot, you know, any means of transportation possible.
Right.
And to join, I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but America is a country of immigrants.
That's true. My grandparents, two were from Russia, one was from Poland, and one was from Austria.
Yeah, well, there you are.
Yeah. And interestingly, none of them spoke the language of their country. They all came here. Either they learned English or they spoke Yiddish.
Yeah, right.
But it's true, you know. Like I talk to people, and I say, you know, like what is like your background all the way, whatever. And because I always get curious about, you know, where other people were coming from, with ancestry.com. But
right.
So tell me, are you now like looking with doing another documentary?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about which one I'm going to do next.
Do you have like something in mind, or you don't want to?
Well, I have something in mind, but I don't particularly like to talk about it until it's done.
Oh, okay. So in terms of the movie, let's get back to In Jackson Heights. always, like, for instance, now looking at it from, you know, critical point of view, I said, well, let's see, those who are of Hispanic descent there don't speak English. That's what I would have.
That's not true.
But that's what I got.
Well, I mean, that's not in the film, because the people, they at those meetings that make the Road New York, which is a wonderful organization, which helps Spanish people from Spanish-speaking countries in America, the group leaders were all English and Spanish speaking, and a lot of the people attending the meetings spoke English, but it was easier for them to discuss the issues that were on their minds if they spoke Spanish. But there's, you know, there are lots of Hispanics in the movie who are speaking English.
And then it was also interesting to see how many seniors were living there.
Well, there are lots of, you know, elderly people living in Jackson Heights, and who are either, you know, connected to earlier generations of immigrants. And there are lots of people, elderly people, whose children have grown up and moved away, and they're still living in the family apartments. So it's a, you know, it's a mixture of people from all over the world, particularly South America and Asia, and descendants of earlier immigrants and aging populations. And it's a very big gay, lesbian, transgender population as well.
Yeah. Well, that is true of, as you know, I also write for a LGBT publication in upstate New York, and, you know, as I look to see in terms of neighborhoods here, interestingly enough, and I don't know why, was that, like, now any gay bar that's in Queens is in Jackson Heights, and that's it. So that's in terms of the flux of where the LGBT community happens to be. But I guess that's also because, you know, the Pride Parade, et cetera, that went on there. So was there anything that you found more interesting than other things in Jackson Heights?
No. I mean, I found it was all new to me, so I found it all very interesting. And I found it particularly interesting that people from all these different backgrounds, you know, could live together in relative harmony.
Yes.
And I thought Danny Drum, you know, does a terrific job as a city council member, and, you know, he has the interests of his constituency, this diverse constituency, at heart, and he works hard to represent their interests.
Yeah, he certainly does. Actually, I've known Danny since he was teaching in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
That was like
he's a great guy.
Years already. Yeah, he is. He's and I remember the controversies at the time, and as a journalist, you know, let me go attend this event and whatever, and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's nice to see that he. How much he does.
Right. No, it's nice to see somebody in government who actually cares and is doing the job. Because I think most people don't have any awareness of the importance of local government. I mean, most people who don't have any connection to it don't have any awareness of it. People who are dependent on it certainly do. But it's a big job.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think he's... running again next year, I think. That's what I think.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. So did you get to meet any of the other politicos or whatever?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, the mayor is in the Gay Pride Parade, but I didn't get to meet him.
Okay. And did you, while you were here, other than... you know, the things you were focused on. Did you get any opportunity to attend any events or other than what was in the film?
Well, no, because when I was there, the events I attended are events that were shot for the film.
Okay, so you didn't go out?
Yeah. No. I was working 12 hours a day.
Oh, okay. I was just curious about that, whether you just did something for fun.
Yeah, occasionally go to a restaurant.
That gets to be for fun. And any particular cuisine? I'm just curious that you said that you would.
No, I had a good sampling of, you know, the cuisines that are present there.
Okay, hopefully, and as I said, I'll get to do that too. So do you want to tell me, like, a little bit about the last film that you did? You want is that still out?
Well, they're all my films are available on DVD and some on VOD. But I've been doing an institutional series, and the one before Jackson Heights was on the National Gallery of London, which is one of the great art museums of the world. As I say, I've done, I think, 8 or 9 films in New York City on a variety of subjects, and I've done, I think, 42 or 3 films altogether, all in the same style as Jackson Heights, and, you know, police, the army, Minuteman missile crew training, juvenile court, a couple of dance films, Paris Opera Ballet and the American Ballet Theater, the Comédie Française, which is the great theater, French theater company. So it's a wide variety of subject matter, and all the films are available on DVD through my company, which is called Zipporah Films, Zipporah.
Okay. Yeah, and when you're doing this, I mean, it doesn't look like anybody knows that there's a camera around.
It's very rare anybody looks in the camera, which is good.
Yeah, that's one of the things I noticed.
The rare situations they do, I don't use the footage.
Okay.
But it happens so rarely as to not be a problem.
But they know, everybody knows that they're being filmed then.
Well, the microphone is just below the frame line. The microphone's, you know, a foot or two away from them. Yeah, and a camera, or sometimes a radio mic. The camera's, you know, 8 or 10 feet away, sometimes closer than that. So unless they're blind and, let's say, completely blind and deaf, they know that a movie's being made.
Yeah, I understand. I did movie work many years ago, and I used to, you know, especially as an extra, and people would come by, what's going on? And I'm thinking, don't you see there's a camera in that? Oh, it's, you know, a movie.
Right.
What do you think it is?
Right, exactly.
So, are you going to, unfortunately, you're in Paris, I was going to say. It would be great if you could be at the Museum of the Moving Image to.
I was there earlier this fall, just talking about the movies. Because the Museum of Moving Image ran a retrospective of all the movies I made in New York. But in any case, I'm delighted they're showing Jackson Heights. That's terrific.
Yeah, I may pop in just to see,
It looks
feedback.
Great on a big screen. It looks much better on a big screen. Any movie looks better on a big screen than on DVD. Yeah.
Well, I managed to do something so I could see it on my smart TV, 32-inch smart
Good.
TV. And I went, that's even better. I can, you know. But,
well, thank you for doing the interview.
Yes, I really appreciate that you're calling in. And I'll be writing about our interview. One of the papers already has this week the story itself. And I have another paper to write for, so this is going to get lots of publicity.
Great. Well, good. Say hello to Danny when you see him.
Oh, certainly will.
Okay. Thanks. Right.
You're
bye.
Very welcome. Have a great day. Well, yes. So In Jackson Heights. Highly recommend it. I have a couple of, you know, critiques about it, but I guess it doesn't, more than my own critique, is, I guess it would matter as to what other people thought. So now, while we're waiting, the story of stories, won't be calling in for a while, for about half an hour. So first, let's get a piece of music. Let's see what we get. I should have Oh, okay. The chickens just wanted to remind me that they were there. Okay. So, what do we have? Let's see. This is probably a good one to do. Yeah.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight.
Yeah, I love that song. I like, well, I like most of the songs that... I have no idea what that was about. I didn't click anything. I guess the radio station wants to do something on its own, I suppose. Anyway, so it's about to talk. Okay, anyhow, his latest. Okay, now, do children really look at the face of their snuggle toys? That's the question. Well, there's one toy company has come out with ugly snugglies. As they say, so ugly they're cute. Or as they continue to say, you don't have to be perfect to be loved. It's what's inside that counts. Well, each of the extremely soft, oversized, and their pets has a built-in surprise, which allows children to do more than just simply snuggle. So here's, like, the lowdown of what's in these, like, Velcro pockets. Like, inside, Porky Panda is a super soft blanket that's perfect for sleepovers. Crazy Kitty has a light in its tail so you can read at night or in the car. Bizarre Bear has 5 secret pockets so you can hide all of your favorite stuff. Unusual Acorn has an alarm clock so you can wake up for school every morning by yourself. Remember, these are for kids, not adults. Well, I guess it will be in case you don't have an alarm clock. You got a snuggly with you. Okay, Rowdy Rabbit has a hidden FM radio so you can listen to all your favorite music. Pouty Pig has a secret piggy bank inside. It's a perfect place to save all your money. I guess it depends upon the age of the child as to whether they have money to put in there. Okay, so well, I was able to sample 3 of these products with the help from 3-year-old Quinn, who was given the Crazy Kitty and loved it. Now, her dad told me she kept on insisting on putting it in the garbage can because I think it reminded her of Oscar the Grouch and believed that it lived in the garbage. But after explaining that it's not a character from Sesame Street, Quinn did take it to bed with her. So Unusual Acorn is for an older child, like who needs to wake up for school, but it does take some manipulating to set the timer. And of the 3, Rowdy Rabbit would also work best for an even older child, as the FM stations can be changed as well as the volume. So there's more manipulating with that. Then again, these days, I have to ask a 6-year-old how to use my smart TV. So the instructions come with the toys, or you can, I think, go to the website, www.uglysnugglies.com. That's UGLYSNUGLIES. Ugly snugglies. Well, okay. Now, next on the thing. Whoa, yeah. On the food scene. Well, we're talking about Queens. In Queens, we have our own Chinatown, which is bigger and better than the Chinatown in Manhattan. Really, anybody coming here wants to do Chinatown should come into Queens. It's very easy to get to if you're in Manhattan. Hop on one train and it takes you all the way to downtown Main Street. Every possible Asian cuisine is in downtown Flushing, and because they have the business incentive, I guess, district, but it's like it's kept clean. It's really nice. So anyway, on the food scene, there's this whole big thing about Joe's Shanghai because they have soup dumplings. So everybody loves to get that. So now It looks like they're not the only game in town. So they've added these delicacies to their menu. In case you don't know what it is the dumplings, they actually have soup. So when you're getting a dumpling, you got to be careful. You can't just bite into it. Because there's a special way to open it and take it, whatever. And they're steamed. And it's just fabulous. It's really delicious. Not expensive at all. But anyway, so this place had just opened up. Just a sneak peek because I went. It was like they already did it, like a soft opening. So this place is called Shanghai Yu Garden. I didn't take my camera to take food photos because I just didn't realize it was going to be something to write about. So anyway, so my friend and I sampled a few of the items, of course, beginning with the dumplings. So one had pork, and the other had crab and pork, the real crab, not the fake stuff. And my reaction was that the skins, like the dumpling skins, are like they're pepper thin. Paper thin, with a really good amount of, stuffing in it. It's very delicious. It comes with, I guess it's like a vinegar, ginger, soy sauce, dipping sauce. But you don't really need it because the soup itself is really good. Of course, that would have been enough for lunch, but we started becoming a little more curious. Well, Lori wanted to check out this cold dish, a vegetarian appetizer, braised bean curd. Well, fortunately for me, Lori does not like mushrooms, so I was able to chow down on those and another, I think, fungus-like vegetable. I love to try all kinds of new vegetables anyway. And I got, oh my, it, like the taste, I couldn't like get over. I don't know exactly what's in there that makes it, the whole thing taste so good. But, it didn't bother me not having meat at all. Well, I did taste a piece of the bean curd itself. And then we also had this, they had this dessert. It was like, they call it like sweet rice bowl. It was like a warm dessert, and it was like gummy rice dumplings in a, egg drop soup. Best to explain, it was very, sweet. And it was, it was different, pretty good, I'm a chocoholic, so anything that's not chocolate for dessert, okay. But I got word that the owners of this place, they also own a few other restaurants in downtown Flushing. One is a fast food eatery where you can get more typical dim sum, such as my favorite, chicken feet. Oh, this, I love the chicken feet, what the Chinese make it. And they have it like a piece of Peking duck in a bun. And they also have a Sichuan cuisine restaurant, and they also have a bakery. So hopefully I'll be able to check them all out. Yeah, so that's what's happening. Then I'll tell you about another thing. But let's take another break. Josh Groban is going to be performing, but what there's a thing, a Fathom Events. That's FATHOM, Fathom Events. And what this is like... Okay, here's the best way to describe it. Josh Groban will be performing somewhere, and you could watch it live on the screen. So what happens is that I'll be at a movie theater watching him, live. And what's great about with Fathom Events is that they do a lot of this with the Metropolitan Opera. And so, while the opera is performing, and you get also backstage stuff and, all this other stuff to boot, but then you you don't have to dress up for the opera, and price-wise, it's way cheaper. I mean, it's more than just the cost of a movie, but it's, like, really way cheaper. So since Josh is going to be performing, I might as well play one of my favorite Josh Groban songs. Why not?
Thank you.
Don't you just love that song? Well, he's apparently he's not into this that kind of stuff anymore, or even his opera. He seems to be into theater, Broadway songs, things like that. We're going to hear a whole different side of Josh, but this is not. I guess this has been for a little while that he's doing this. So I also wanted to tell you, there's a company called Lotus Foods. So just Google it. It'll be easier. It's been, L-O-T-U-S Foods. And that thing is rice. And it's not just, your average rice. And I'll have the owners come on at some point to interview them. And they actually, one of the places they grow rice is in California. I mean, I never think of anybody growing rice in the United States, but most of their rice they're getting for their products is from other countries. And it's their thing, actually, to teach countries, how to grow rice. And it's not your average, like you're not getting a typical white rice, That's one of the things. They have rice that has a lot of protein, it's really nutritious. And so I had tried this some years ago. I even had a couple of friends of mine who live in California drop into their company to interview them. But then I came across something really interesting, which was that they have ramen noodles that are made from rice, or made from like rice and millet or things like that. The one that's got the forbidden rice. Oh, yeah, just look up forbidden rice. I can't explain. It's this short grain black rice that's really like nutty kind of thing. Oh, that anyway. And so I'm going to try these out because I want to see how it comes. I got samples of it to try, and it's probably great. I could, to take it and to like either eat it just like that, or throw it into whatever meal I'm cooking up in the pan, But what I also had noticed was they have the ramen with the miso. So I'm going to be trying that out because, it's what you pay when you can get that cheap stuff all the time. It's made from wheat and whatever, and it's like, filled you up kind of thing, and God knows what's in the miso powder, whatever, that they have. But this looks like, I would imagine, it'll be much more nutritious. I'm going to be trying one of them today. And then on my next show, I'll let everybody know, what I thought. But probably be the subject of one of my articles that I'll be doing for next week. So that's kind of the latest. I look forward to Sunday of another episode of Downton Abbey. They're doing this whole thing. Well, it's the first United States, I guess, if you want to call it, I don't know, I guess it's soap opera-ish, kind of thing. That they're doing called Mercy Street, and it's going to takes place in Alexandria, Virginia, and because of this, it has to do with the Civil War, and because of this, a tourism office there has set up all these tours for people to experience the different historical things that have to do with this. And so I'm going to get in touch with them. I don't know when I'm going to go. I don't really want to go, like, now that winter is here. You know, I'm not sure when I'm going to go. But this is, the packages that they're dealing with go until, I think, October. So I may wait. Maybe I'll go in March so I can experience all of this. And so let's get one last Josh Groban song before the call in. There we go.
Reach out before it fades away. You will find the warmth when you surrender. Smile into the fear and let it pass.
Another good song. I like Josh Groban songs anyway. Yeah. And there's certain artists that I like. Yeah. So what I also just got the email. Okay. Well, I got one of the people calling in. Let's see which one here. All right. So, well, hi. Who do I have at the moment? You didn't all
Hello?
Call in at the same time. Yeah. Hi.
Hi. This is Christopher Torres.
Okay. Let me write down this way as I talk to each of you. Okay, Christopher. Okay, so I have the this way. I look at the phone numbers and I'll know who's calling in. You're the first one calling in, Christopher.
Oh, I'm usually not on time for anything, so.
Well, this time you're the only one that's on time.
Oh, that's a first for me. That's for sure.
Okay. Okay, I got another one. Let's see who I got. Hey. Here. Okay,
hi,
who do I got here? Yeah? What?
Hello, Deb is here. How are you?
Okay, who am I talking to now?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello, Dev is here. Dev?
Okay. No, who are you?
Dev.
Oh, okay.
Hi. Yes.
Okay.
I am.
I just want to make sure what I'm doing
yeah.
is just kind of writing down the phone numbers that I see. I'm not going to say what they are. So I have, like, who's who. Okay.
Sure.
Hi,
yes.
Dev.
Hi.
Okay, now I got...
I'm here, too.
Wait, I see someone else. Who's the next one? Who's that?
I'm Holly Hep Galvan. I'm one of the writers.
Okay, Holly. And let's see. Okay. So I got three down. Okay. Well, Dev, you're going to be the one I'm speaking to first, so as everybody
okay.
else is calling in. All right,
great.
So tell me about this whole thing that you're doing.
Sure. Well, this is a new piece of programming for APAC. I became the artistic director of the company in November of 2014, and sort of when I started, I immediately thought of doing something like this, which would celebrate Astoria, celebrate the writers in our immediate community, and really give our company more of an opportunity to work with more artists, more writers during a given season. But when I started in November of 2014, it was sort of too quick to try to put something in the works for that season, so it became a plan to do it for this season, which also happens to be APAC's 15th anniversary. So we're super excited to be introducing this new piece of programming. Basically, writers sent in an application to be part of the process by submitting a writing sample and also locations in Astoria that they really liked. And so from those applications, we selected the wonderful group that we're going to be working with this winter on this production, three of which are on this with us right now, and we're really excited. It's the first time that APAC has done a project of this kind of, you know, multi-artists all working towards one evening kind of show, and it's going to be a lot of different voices, but all with the central theme of different places in our neighborhood. So we're just really looking forward to it.
So let me just see who's just calling in now.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Okay, Alex.
So
okay.
Sorry that I'm late.
Okay. No, I just wanted. This is okay. I'm just trying to, you know, when I talk to each person, I'm writing down like the phone numbers in front of me now. So I know
sure.
who's who. You know, I just see phone
sure,
numbers,
sure.
no names. So this way
sure.
I have this in front of me, you know, the menu, so to speak. Okay, so to get back. So in other words, the playwrights then send in their short plays to you? Is that how it is?
No. Basically, it was a call for writers to come and be part of something new, that we would accept them into being part of this workshop, and they would write a new piece for this evening. So basically, the goal was to have each piece be based on a location in the neighborhood. And when we had our first writers' meeting in before the holidays, we talked about the different possibilities for what each piece was going to be about. And then everyone went off to their separate corners over the holidays and wrote a piece. And we're about to share them with each other before we go into work with the actors next week. So all of the pieces are new, brand new, written just for this festival, and so that's part of the excitement as well.
So just so I get this clear, there's how many? There's nine?
Nine.
Nine. So
yes.
Is that nine and nine writers or nine and...
It's actually 11 writers. We have
six
plays and three musicals. Actually, one of our musical writers is on the call with us right now. And so two of the pieces are being written by two people because one of them is writing book and lyrics and one of them is writing music.
Okay, so that Alex is the one with the musical.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you say that, so let's make it easy, and I'll talk to each of you, and you'll kind of give me tell me a little bit about the play that you wrote. So let's start, since you called it first, I'm giving you dibs.
Oh, okay, great. I appreciate that. So did you want me to
tell me? Yeah, tell me about what you wrote.
Sure. So as Devin mentioned, we're all touching on locations in Astoria, and I thought to do a story on the Astoria Boulevard train stop. particularly in Astoria, the train is a major drag backdrop for most of our day to day. So I am doing a story about a father and a son on their way somewhere, and they missed their train, and the father essentially has, without giving too much away, has a memory of a moment that he had there years ago. And the father is actually a first-generation immigrant, so I was trying to touch on that, a Latin experience. Yeah, particularly in Astoria.
Okay. And am I getting that, like, each piece is about 10 minutes long? Is that what I was...
Yes. That is actually something that I didn't mention earlier, so excellent question. Each piece is going to be around 10 minutes long, and each time we present the show, it's going to be all of the pieces. So you come for a whole show, and you see a group of nine actors acting in different parts throughout the event.
Oh, okay. So within that is okay. So so there's nine members in the cast, and they're doing different ones of
exactly.
Okay.
So each actor will be the lead in one show, and then he or she will also rotate into other parts to support the other shows.
Okay. So next, Holly, you are, which I didn't get to write, originally I understand that Carrie was supposed to be.
Yeah, but
and,
Holly is here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, Holly. So tell me about your play.
Sure. I'm really excited because I got the Bohemian Hall and Beer Garden, which was just such a fun choice. Really excited about that. I got to actually spend an afternoon with the general manager, Andrew Walters, at the beer hall, and he was great, told me a lot about it, a very old history and a lot of great stories I learned there, and yes, I had some beer. And so my piece is a very large comedy Lots of fun. It's going to use the entire cast, and it has a bit of history in it. It has a bit of the present. It has a bit of all the wonderful cultures and languages that make up Astoria, and it hopefully is very funny. So, it was fun to write.
Well, that's good. I like a good comedy anyway.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, and then we have now Alex. So you got the
whole
musical?
I don't think in the entire thing. I think I'm the only musical writer. My musical is about the Broadway Silk Store, which is on Broadway. The Broadway Silk Store, which is on Broadway between 35th and 36th. And what's awesome about it is that I actually live above the Broadway Silk Store. And I'm very, very friendly with the family that owns the Broadway Silk Store. And so my story, my musical is based on a true story of basically when the eldest daughter decided to move out for the first, it's the first non-Astorian at this point in their family. So it's a very fun, but I hope interesting musical, 10-minute musical.
So have you been writing other musicals?
Yeah. I have one musical called Outlaws that we did a workshop at Goodspeed Opera House, and I'm going back there to work on a different musical in February. I'm writing a bunch of different pieces.
And how about let's go back to Holly? How about, do you have any other plays, or do you tend to do comedies?
I write a lot of different things. I have an MFA in playwriting, and I also teach playwriting. I write comedies, I write dramas, I write children's theater. I've been writing for quite a few years, so yeah, I like to write a lot of different things. Comedies are fun, though, I have to say. I really had fun with this. I said, well, this is a place where people are drinking beer, so it's got to be funny. So yeah, I do enjoy writing comedy very much.
And Christopher, how about you?
I try to write comedy, but it always ends up being like a dramedy. I'm currently working on my MFA, so most of my stories, this is one of my first few attempts at dramatic writing. I tend to write prose, like short stories, that kind of thing. So this is pretty exciting.
Now, have any of you ever had your other shows done in Queens?
Oh, yeah. I just was in the one-act festival at the Secret Theater in Long Island City,
actually,
which is
Holly,
on closing, isn't it?
Holly, actually, I saw that.
Did you?
Yeah, with Gamal. He's Yeah, he's actually a friend of mine.
That's
Esther.
Fun.
Yeah, it's funny that we're all sort of in this small community and we're all kind of connected that way. But, yeah, that was a good piece. I remember that. Oh,
thank you.
Do any of you live in Astoria, by the way?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here since 1999.
Okay. When we put out the calls to the writers, we asked that we get submissions for writers who lived in Queens. If they didn't live directly in Astoria, that was okay, but that Queens, we wanted to celebrate writers in our borough. And many of them, I think all of the ones that are on the call right now, are all Queens are all Astoria residents. As am I. So.
Okay. And so, by the way, before you guys called in, I had the filmmaker Frederick Weissman on, who just finished doing the movie In Jackson Heights that just got an award.
Oh, yes.
So we go from Jackson Heights now to Astoria. Look at that.
Excellent.
There you go.
So, and by the way, just has anybody been curious about my name?
A little bit.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
I changed my name to Exit so I could see my name up in lights.
Oh, very good.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I did not expect that that was the story, so I'm so excited to know that now.
That's excellent.
That's,
my uncle,
that's,
when
that's
I was
perfect.
10 years old, my uncle, because I always said to my, when I grow up, I want to be a comedian. And my uncle, at the, when I was 10, he said, well, then change your last name to Eggs and you'll see your name up in lights. So it got to an, I think I need a stage name right now. All right, my uncle said, and that's what I did.
That's pretty funny.
Wonderful. That's a great story. Yeah, I come from from doing show business, so I'm familiar with plays, movies, and the whole butt. But anyway, so does it look like now with Secret Garden like closing up? There's not very many places in Queens, or let me ask you. I've never been to the place in Astoria. How large is the theater?
Well, we work out of the Good Shepherd Church on Crescent and 30th Road. We've been there for about 6 seasons. So the good thing is that, you know, that's a old church building, and so we're not necessarily going to fall to the hands of people who want to build new condos there. So we're pretty much okay for the moment, which is good. We have a pretty large space. It can seat up to 99 people, and it's a flexible space. So we can use it in different ways given what the needs of the shows that we produce are. For this show, we're going to sort of have a simple setup. There is a stage at one end of the room, and we set up the seats for the audience, you know, facing that. And there's going to be sort of like a unified, simple set for this entire evening since all of the pieces are going to be different. But there's going to be enough space for anybody who wants to come, so you should come on down.
So when, and this starts when? I forgot to write this down.
This starts on Thursday, February 19th. We run Thursday, I'm going to edit myself. We start on Friday, February 19th, and then we have 2 shows on the 20th at 2 and 8. And then we're actually doing something really exciting for us. APAC's offices are actually at the Kaufman Astoria Studios, and so we're partnering with them to put on one pop-out performance at the Museum of the Moving Image. So we're going to have one performance at the Museum of the Moving Image on Sunday, February 21st at 7:30, and that'll be right in the middle of our run. And then we have 3 more performances back at APAC over at the Good Shepherd Church on Friday, February 26th, and 2 on February 27th. And so then we close. So we'll have 7 shows in total, 6 at APAC and 1 at the Museum of the Moving Image.
Well, that's great.
And
the Museum of the Moving Image, which theater are you
There are actually a bunch of different spaces. So we have worked with their director of education to figure out which one's going to be the best one for us. And we're actually going to be in the small sort of, it's like a screening room in a theater, sort of when you're walking towards the elevator to the right.
The amphitheater. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to go in and do it in there. And, you know, that'll be a little bit of a different kind of show, but a really exciting thing. And actually one of the locations that one of the writers has written about is the Museum of the Moving Image. So it sort of gives a little bit of a site-specific kind of feel to it, which we're really excited about. There's something called the Kaufman Arts District. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. And so the studios are really excited to partner with us and with MOMI to have us present as part of that district in that district.
That's great. Might as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, the more facets of Astoria and Astoria businesses and places that are aware of what we do and what we're doing with this project, the better, because it just will build awareness of us and the writers and the work that we're doing. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, great. Well, I don't know if I may or may not attend, because when I say may not, what happens is my wonderful editor takes what he wants to write about. And this is like his, would be more of his thing. And so he may be the one that's going to do the critique on this and not me. Although I do write for another paper, so that may not be an issue after all. But I have, since I've never been to this venue, I may just do that anyway. And not
great.
Just, you know, yeah. And I'll see about maybe also getting something into the other Queen's paper that I write for beforehand.
Wonderful.
So now, do any of you want to promote yourself while you have the chance, or something else?
Uh-oh, I don't know if you want
it's
to say
free.
That to three writers.
No? Well, you know, I'll chime in one thing.
Yes.
As Dev knows, I run a local reading series in Astoria. We're starting to meet in Manhattan, but essentially it's really simple. It's called the Fail Better Reading Series, and we pretty much just have writers submit scripts for plays or films, and we invite actors to read them, and we workshop them. We've been doing it for about 6 months now, and it's been pretty awesome. We would love to have more writers, more people can submit. You can find us on Facebook, Fail Better Reading Series. So check that out.
Okay. Oh, great. Anybody else?
Not on my end.
Sure. My next play opens in Austin, Texas, no. So I won't bother plugging it right now.
Oh, you could plug it. This
no.
is a, well, you could plug it. You're on the internet.
Okay. Well, I work with a wonderful company called Pollyanna Theater Company. And they're based in Austin, Texas, and they are a resident company at the Long Center there. And this will be my fourth work with them. Great, great company. They do all new children's theater work. Very few companies that do brand new work for children. And my new play, which is called Trouble on the Double, will be opening this summer with them. So I'm very excited.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I will also just give a shout-out to APAC. We are doing a Story of Stories, as I said, from Friday, the 19th of next month through February 27th. And then our spring musical this year is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which will be running in May, and we're super excited about that. So
that
you can check us out.
Vote.
Excellent. So you can check us out at www.apacny.org for all information about both shows, but come to Astoria Stories first, because it's about Astoria and it's coming up very soon.
Hooray! Okay. Well, I'm kind of looking forward to this. It'll be my new venture of going.
Excellent.
Into. Well, it's not that I've never been in that neighborhood before. I live in Woodhaven, so I'm not like terribly far away. But you know how it is. It's like, I tend to go to neighborhoods due to the food. That's what I wind up doing.
Well, what we can guarantee anyone who takes a trip to Astoria who doesn't live here is a good meal before coming to the show. So
absolutely.
There are no worries there at all.
Do you have any recommendations of like what's right near, like you know, like walking distance, kind of, you know, block away?
It totally depends on what you're looking for. If you want like quick Mediterranean food, there's a great little place called Pita Hot, like literally across the street from the Mount Sinai Hospital. There's a wonderful wine bar and restaurant for a little bit of something a little bit fancier, about two blocks away from the theater, called Vesta on 30th Avenue and 21st Street. Those are the two places that come to mind immediately, but there are a bunch of other places in the immediate vicinity.
Okay. It used to be that if you wanted Greek food, it was the only place to go, is in Astoria.
Well,
now,
I would still say that there's a ton of excellent Greek food, but, you know, I think that there's a ton of excellent everything.
Oh yeah, that's what's happened now.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I'm saying it used to be that was all, you know, that was it. You're going for Greek food, you got to go to Astoria, and that's it. But now, you know, it's just more than Greek food.
But you still
you can
have
pretty
the
much
best
get anything
food.
Here,
huh? And that you can pretty much get any variety of food
yes.
here. It's unbelievable. It's so multinational.
Yeah,
you know more and more. Yeah. Anytime anybody brings up Queens, they always bring up food. I feel like that's like our thing. All the restaurants, all the different ethnicities that you can check out.
Well, here my theory had become this, that everybody wants to pursue the American dream. So they go, okay, and they get on a plane, and they land at JFK. And then they go, now we're here, where do we go? Well, we don't have any money to go anywhere, so let's stay in Queens. So you have all these people from all over the world living in Queens, and each of them go, well, we need to make money. What do we do? Let's open up a restaurant. So everybody, this every possible type of food now is in Queens.
Mm.
It's just great. So, okay, I'm going to let you guys go.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And please let me or any of the writers know if you need any more info for what you're going to be writing. And we hope to see you at the show.
Yes, I will make it a point to go.
Excellent.
All right, have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Merle. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so I will get there, and right now I'm going to end the show. Okay, I'm going to end the show a little early. Well, this is so until next time. Everybody have a wonderful day, evening, or, of course, you know, whatever you're into. H-I-J, intro. Music, no, that's under the word music. I always keep doing this. Oh, I just saw Melba Moore. Oh, that's right, I did something with Melba Moore. Yeah, she's going to be, I saw something where she's going to be entertaining again. Oh, well. All right, goodbye, everybody. Go and eat my ramen.